It's the Kentucky State Fantasy Football Championship Podcast with your host, Farrell Elliott. In-depth analysis, player updates, start 'em, sit 'em, more. Now here's Farrell.
Hello and welcome everyone to week 6 of the Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship Podcast. Back in the studio with my main man, tanned and relaxed from vacation in Florida, is Robbie Fetcher. How's it going, Fetch?
Life is good, Farrell. Life is good.
Life is very good to the Fetch, because we'll see when we examine our top 10 that a certain Fetch has made his way into the top 10. Congratulations
Thank
on that.
You.
We got some great things in front of us for this weekend, Fetch. These are some wonderful matchups. These are some difficult matchups to figure out. I had a great week last week while I was away, and I appreciate you so much coming in and taking the episode by yourself. I've got to leave again in October. I know all the listeners will be crushed, but I've got to leave again in October. And Travis Cox has agreed to join you in the studio the night of the 26th. You think you and Travis can get along?
Sounds good, yes. Always have to love to have you back. Love having a different another voice in the in the studio. 45 minutes, a long time to talk to yourself.
Well, you know, Travis, well, you're talking to the people. You're talking to the players, but nobody's talking back.
Somebody's got to set me up with softballs, Farrell.
You dropped into the top 10. Travis Cox dropped out, so that'll give you guys something to talk about. When you get together, I'm always thrilled. I flew out to Denver. New music client, Kristen DeAble. Everybody, download the music. It'll blow your mind. She's great out of New Orleans. Got a soulful rock and roll feel to her. It's really great. And she did a show in Denver, and then we spent the day in Denver getting business together, and then we drove to Omaha. And in Omaha, I invited to the show, and he and his lovely wife, Angela, came out. Our number one, our leader in the proverbial clubhouse, Chad Schroeder.
Wow, what an impressive score he's put up this year. I was looking at it earlier. I mean, the difference between me and second place is like 35 points. The difference between him and second place is 42. What a gap. What a lead he's kind of put in that clubhouse.
And what's very interesting about that team, you know who he lost?
Keenan Allen.
He lost Keenan Allen off this team. Chad is a great player in fantasy football. He played twice online with us this year, which is a real compliment. He plays about 140, 150 teams over all overall leagues in the high-stakes fantasy landscape. So, Chad, you know, just getting him out and getting him to a Kristen DeAble show was a great thing, because he had to abandon a free agency 2 hours early to get out on a Friday night. So it was a real tip of the cap. And he enjoyed being there, and I enjoyed him being there. You know, that second place, Chad has held first for a while. Holding on second is our boy from the Oregon Territory, Jimmy Cole.
Yes, he's been very successful staying up top there, which usually there's a lot more fluid situations, teams going up and down, because you have bad weeks, and both these guys, very steady.
In our MailChimp that is going out tomorrow, we're going to take a look at some of the owners and players they utilized last week to jump into the top 10 scores from last week. You know, we only had one team above 200 last week, and in that top 10, Kimber Schleicher, who's had a real tough start to the year in the KFFSC, she put together three of the top 10 performances last week. So, you know, it's the old saying that every player is going to have that opportunity to get on track. That's what we're going to do when we break down the schedule, is look at some people, look at some players that are getting on track. New entries into the top 10 this week, Taylor Casey and Fussy Elmore, and I'm real proud of those young guys. My boy from L.A., Jeff Joaquin, you know, Jeff goes through Flash Cross Country to participate in the event, and we really appreciate that. Nate Vetta, who comes in from Pittsburgh and started with us in the Draft Master Concept, now plays in the main event. He's in the top 10, and aforementioned Robbie Fetcher hanging right in there. Andrew Howard's locked up third place. Some other names, Williamson, Meyer, guys we've talked about all year who are fine players and who will be there at the end. You know who's having a great year across the across the ancillaries.
Now tell me.
Is our girl from Indiana, Christy Franklin.
Oh, drafted with her a couple times, yeah. She's quality drafter.
Through 5 weeks, she's 5-0 in the big payback. She's leading also in points in the big payback. She went in the Bluegrass Bound 2. She's number one after a week in Bluegrass Bound 2. And she's competitive wherever she's playing this year and doing very, very well. So tip of the hat to Christy. We got to get her in the studio, Fetch.
Always. More voices, more opinions, the better off we are.
She'll come with it, too. You know, she loves... Yeah, Christy throws that cheat sheet out the window with these drafts, and you know she kind of does her own thing, and I respect that a great deal. What kind of surprises did you see last week across the landscape of the NFL? I've got a question for you. Name a player that we've talked about who has either settled and is not producing at a big number, or who we thought would produce, and he just can't seem to bring it together at any position.
Well, first of all, I think we all were high on the Jaguars, and I think they've all really underperformed. That offense has just not put up the production we thought they were going to this year. Chris Ivey, obviously, it's been the injury. T.J. Yeldon, right. They just can't get that running game going. Allen Robinson had a couple bounce-back games, but he's still not put up that huge game, and part of that's Blake Bortles' numbers.
So you say against basically the whole team. Well, the good thing is they're coming off a bye, correct?
Yes, and that's something that can be fixed. I think hopefully during that bye week they got a little rhythm in the pass game. Marquise Lee, a guy we were high on, slowly becoming more part of that passing game.
So you've been talking Lee for quite a while.
Yes.
What about, I can think of a couple guys, and you know, I'll throw out Lamar Miller. Lamar Miller, I'm glad I have on one or two of my teams because I think it's going to improve. I think it's going to improve greatly this weekend. But I really am beginning to look at that offense that got shut out in New England, and what did they do against Minnesota? Very little.
Well, again, two very tough defenses.
But it looks like those teams know exactly what's coming.
Oh,
they're very vanilla on offense. You can't really tell me that Hopkins can't separate from corners. I don't care who they are, but it appears like those corners know exactly where Hopkins is going.
Again, I think that comes from the talent of Osweiler. He's not proven. He's not sure of what he wants to do back there. Talking about Miller, Miller is getting the touches that all owners want. He
right.
just hasn't reached the end zone. That's something we need out of him.
No, then that team's not scoring points. George Godsey, an O'Brien, and previous to that a Patriots disciple, play calling taken away from him, I believe. Bill O'Brien now calling the plays. That team looks to me offensively that needs a bye week, but that's not coming for a few weeks. So in lieu of a bye week, they get the Colts defense in prime time. We'll get to watch it, and we'll get to see if it can be fixed. If it doesn't get fixed this week, we could be in for a little bit.
Start worrying. We saw what the Bears, even though they didn't win, the Bears put up good numbers against them, and the Bears aren't a great offense.
I love what our quarterbacks are doing across the league. We're very, very happy with Carr. Intermittently happy with Stafford. Matt Ryan, who we really weren't on, but we said made a quality backup, man, he's doing his
more
thing.
More than, yes.
But you know, Jameis Winston, we picked him, we put him with Carr. Now, if drafters listened to us and followed through with the Carr-Winston duo, they've yet to start Winston. Because Carr has been wonderful. Carr's done a very, very solid job. Tampa goes into the bye week this week. How are they going to repair Jameis Winston to get him to be the quarterback that we saw last year?
First of all, I mean, he's still a top 10 fantasy quarterback. He's in the top, right at the 10 spot. Two, he's had a couple of big weeks. My only real concern is the coach who was supposed to be his best friend, this guy that was brought in, helped him to this great year, moved the Tampa offense from 30th to 5th, hired him as a head coach because they're afraid he's going to leave. We want him and Jameis to dwell. And all of a sudden on Monday night, he didn't trust him. And that's a scary thing as a fantasy owner. Your quarterback in a 2-minute situation is handing the ball off and your head coach is afraid to throw. I think Jameis has the talent. I'm hoping over this bye week they get a couple things fixed up. Doug Martin should be back after the bye. Maybe they get a little rhythm because he did miss a couple passes to Mike Evans. I think that would have helped. Yeah. Their only touchdown drive, he had 2 good passes right on the money. And, again, I just didn't understand why Dirk Cutter wouldn't go with him and trusted a Jaquizz Rodgers mm-hmm. who's been with 3 teams and a kicker that we had talked about. I mean, he's basically seen a sports psychologist because he can't make field goals. And on third down, Jameis is handing off on a draw to set up a field goal. So it's very scary.
I think it's beyond Winston. We're dealing in a situation where we were beginning to count on some of the Tampa players. You're always going to count on Evans. Jaquizz Rodgers got a unbelievable load of carries in that game, especially for a guy
unpredicted.
Well,
historic.
So let's go back to the guy who's right now the point leader in this contest. Guess who one of his running backs was that he picked up right off the waiver wire this week.
Jaquizz
and put it in the lineup. There you go.
Yeah.
You know, so congratulations, Chad Schroeder. I think Jamie Cox made that move too. You know, there's some guys that could that had the foresight to not worry about the Carolina defense and insert that player. But, you know, if you don't trust Winston as a coach and if you're playing not to lose, that's what I saw. I really thought I really thought he was playing into the fact that we don't have to do much to beat the other quarterback. The other quarterback almost beat him.
That
interception on first down fetch.
Should have beat him. That's the scariest part of me, though. From a coach, he wins that game. It goes into his mind, man, we played this conservative approach and we won.
Cameron Brake got separation and caught 1 38-yard pass from Jameis. Humphreys caught 1 little
screen pass,
screen. So I just really I agree with you. You got to let that kid put that ball in the air.
I was a little shocked by the game plan and everything that happened. I really was.
Fetch, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll start our schedule and review the players that may come to the forefront and may get you in the top 10 of the week or the top 10 in the league when we meet here next week.
We're just getting revved up. The KFFSC.
KFFSC.
Fantasy.
Fantasy football.
Fantasy football. All season long.
Fetch, my brother, let's get into it. Thursday Night Football presents the Denver Broncos, I believe, traveling to the San Diego Chargers. Is that correct?
That is. It's Thursday night. Boring football for me.
But there's no boring football with these two teams. What are you talking about, Fetch? This is going to be a great game.
Thursday night has tended to me always to been slow-paced, teams trying to get over. And to be honest with you, I trend to try to, if it's an average player on my cut, you know, whether to start or not, Thursday night's a factor whether I start somebody or not.
It's like watching tennis at Wimbledon. It's slower, but more, I don't know. You know, the Chargers made the trip up to the Raiders this past week, and you talk about a guy that was thrilled with the outcome, and thrilled he wasn't in Las Vegas, considering that the Raiders were a 3.5-point favorite.
By the hook, the
Chargers are so snake-bit. Denver is coming off an embarrassing loss at home to the Falcons. How do you see this game? The Chargers are first of all, give me a total point score.
Total points, again, while I'm not playing many players, I'm going to put it at about a 41 maybe.
Okay, but the players that you have on the Chargers, you've got to keep the target of Terrell Williams on the field, don't you?
I mean, he's going to play. I tend to not play any wide receivers against the Denver Broncos.
Travis Benjamin.
No, I'm not going to play. I got
Gonna
other options. Yeah. I mean, look last week. I mean, Matt Ryan had a great game against him.
Right.
Who'd he throw to? Running backs.
He did.
Julio Jones caught 3 or 4 passes.
Yes.
Muhammad, not much. They found a way to beat him but in the passing game, but it was with running backs.
They beat him up and down that field, and I don't think it had a whole lot to do with the coach's health, but that's a side commentary. Okay, so you're saying Gordon
Gordon's a play.
Gordon is a play. What about Benjamin as the alternative underneath receiver?
I do not believe. I don't like playing quarterbacks and wide receivers against Denver. They're that good of a defense. They can take it away. Obviously, Phillip Rivers is so good. Unless you have a better option, you're going to play him.
But let's put Josh Lambeau in the game because the next holder's not going to. Next holder's not going to make that.
I guess there's going to be a lot of field goals.
They're going to get
a lot of field goals. Yeah. And I predict the Chargers to win. Unbelievable fact, Farrell. They're 1-4, right?
Yeah.
They have fourth most snaps with the lead in the league.
I can understand that.
And before this week, it was first.
They've fumbled it away. They've given it away. They need hockey rules, three quarters.
Right, exactly, because they've been ahead early and lost it late.
What's going on with Demaryius Thomas?
Bad quarterback play.
Yeah.
I mean, it's simple as that. I mean, there's seventh-round pick, then a rookie. They're supposedly going back to Simeon this week because how bad Paxton looked. But I don't know how healthy he is, and if they're worried about that shoulder, what are they going to do? They're going to run the ball to CJ.
Yeah, a non-throwing shoulder, that's still a painful situation for a quarterback to deal with.
And they gave up 7 sacks last week. They could not protect the quarterback. So do you really want to put a guy back there that's unhealthy when you cannot protect him?
And here, with all this at play, you said this is going to be a boring game. Fetch, you better recalculate.
Low scoring. How's that? Low scoring.
All right. You know. Okay, I got a real-world question for you because it's the next team follows.
Okay.
So we'll go ahead and introduce the game. The Eagles travel to the Foreskins. Eagles at Washington this weekend. You're a believer in Ryan Matthews despite the fumbling problems that gave the game away?
You know, I believe in Ryan Matthews. I mean, he did have a little low usage before the bye, but I believe that was an ankle issue.
Right.
The only problem with Ryan Matthews, I mean, he's a true RB2-3 kind, just because it's a true split, and if they get in passing situations, they're going to use Darren Sproles a lot.
We came back from the bye week. Sproles played, but sparingly, especially carrying the ball, no Smallwood, no Barner in the backfield. It was largely Matthews, and they had the win salted away until he fumbled. Zach Ertz back in the lineup. You expect a big game against the Skins?
Ertz, as long as he's going to continue to get healthier and healthier and they'll get a better rapport, Ertz is a guy I would play, definitely.
Ertz plays better as the season goes on.
He does, definitely.
Foreskins have a running back named Matt Jones. Now, we previously talked about San Diego on Thursday night. I'm going to get out of San Diego in a minute. But so we're trying to figure out who to start in that game. You said no to Travis Benjamin. If you are sitting with Matt Jones as your third running back or Travis Benjamin in that last flex spot, where do you go?
Ooh.
Yeah. See, it's not so easy, is it?
Waiver wire.
No, you can't go to waiver wire and find two players of that quality.
I would probably go with Travis Benjamin because I do not trust Matt Jones.
You do not trust Matt Jones. Matt Jones, I think, is going to end up with a pretty solid year, Fetch.
Again, there's talks. Robert Kelly finally got a few carries this past week, averaged about 6 yards a carry. They're going to try to get him involved. They're a little disappointed with the uses of Deshaun Jackson. Week 1, he was on fire. They kind of cut away. I think they're going to go to Deshaun Jackson a little more. And they got a great receiving corps, Pierre Garçon, Jamison Crowder.
Well, their main receiver, Fetch, is one I want you to talk about because I think you're up to date on his injury situation. And you talk about being disappointed. I will be very disappointed because I have a Las Vegas team with one tight end. It's Jordan Reed. What's going on inside Jordan Reed's helmet?
Again, it's concussion. And this has been a problem throughout his career going back to college. I do not expect him to play. He went into concussion protocol earlier this week. Like I said, he's a guy he's going to be honest and he's going to say being bothered with headaches, he's going to say it. So I do not think he'll be back for a week or two. I would suggest Vernon Davis as his backup has done okay in spotty spots.
Caught 2 passes last week. Looks like he's in the system.
He does. He had 5 catches earlier in the year and basically a drive where Jordan Reed got tired and got pulled a little bit. So if I do have Jordan, I actually have a league where I have Jordan and Kyle Rudolph is my backup who's on bye. So I'm going out and get Vernon Davis. I'm going to go Vernon Davis.
This is a Wednesday night taping. You better already have been there.
Maybe I have.
I tell
you. I'm a pretty smart guy, Farrell.
I like it. You're managing the clock, which is something that many of us have problem with, and I no comment on that, Fetch. But hey, Fetch, Is Jesse James at Pittsburgh a real thing? I'm thinking of other tight ends that could
be. Well, there's other tight ends, but
could be on the waiver wire.
Jesse James maybe for another week, but I've heard Ladarius Green's going to be back week 7, so I wouldn't count on Jesse into the future. Some guys, the guy in Cincinnati,
C.J. Uzma.
I mean, Tyler Eifert.
It still hasn't practiced.
No, still hasn't practiced. Everybody thought he was coming back. That's a guy. What's going to happen in New England? They're going to take away A.J. Green.
Yep.
They're going to take away the running game, probably Bernard. That means that tight end's probably going to be open a lot.
You know what I'm thinking? I've been waiting all year.
Go ahead, tell me.
Crockett Gilmore for a buck. What do you say, Crockett Gilmore for a buck.
Again, he's the number two to me because Dennis Pitta has done the job there. I mean, he's quite a few targets, quite a few catches. So
let's get back on the focus with the Philadelphia Eagles. We're seeing more and more Carson Wentz in the lineup with this secondary of the Foreskins. Who would you start Carson Wentz over this week?
Over this, obviously.
Would you start him over Eli Manning?
Yes, I would.
Would you start him over Phillip Rivers? No.
I would not over Phillip, no.
You'd start him over your Denver quarterbacks, the Houston quarterbacks. You'd start him over the Rams quarterbacks. God bless you if you've got him. Would you start him over Wilson at Seattle?
No, I would not.
Would you start? You'll start him over Fitz in the desert.
And I'd start him over Tannehill. People who have Tannehill,
oh my
you've got to throw that out the window.
My goodness. I mean, it's over.
Again, I mentioned last year our debate about garbage time and garbage. I've always said he's garbage. So,
well, you know what? He couldn't even take it. Oh, it was just awful. So let's go to that game, the Steelers and the Dolphins this weekend. It looks like an opportunity for the Steelers defense to get a little rich and get it together. The Dolphins were just woeful last week. Woeful.
They're having problems picking up the Adam Gase system. Tannehill cannot. He cannot throw the ball down the field.
You said it early and often. You've been saying that since July.
Now you can still. Again, he had a bad week. I'd still start Jarvis Landry.
You must.
They're going to find ways to get him the ball. He's going to be a PPR monster. One bad week does not stop that.
But you can dig a hole and put Devontae Parker in it for some time right now.
Oh, exactly. And what's going on in the backfield, it's everybody's guess. Maybe that groin from Aaron Foster will get healthy at some point. I don't expect it to. But
what's different about Roethlisberger this year?
I don't think anything.
I think something. I think it's a confidence, a maturity, a certain swagger, a certain – He has come into his own. I mean, he's always been a great quarterback, but he's a great quarterback with that sort of Hall of Fame look to him.
Well, I mean, the system, he's getting used to it. They've been working together, him and the offensive coordinator, a good 3 or 4 years now. He feels comfortable going to all his different weapons. I mean, you got Eli Rogers that filled in a couple weeks, then he got hurt. Sammy Coates, they were down on, boom, he has a big game. Marcus Wheaton's back. I got a feeling 1-2. He's going to have a big game in a couple weeks.
Coates is a better pass catcher than Wheaton.
Yes, he is, but
and better speed.
Coach
and taller
does have a finger problem.
He's got nine others. What do you mean he's got a finger problem?
They say he's got a cast on it. He didn't practice today.
Oh,
so there's a little
fetch you and your medical updates. I tell you, man, you come in here with a Red Cross.
But again, if he's active, you're playing it. If he's active, because Ben loves to throw the ball down the field, and Sammy can get down the field.
You've never met my buddy Jim Fenton from California that I grew up with in Western Kentucky. He has always joined me in Vegas, and he's been a silent partner in some of my fantasy teams. You know, he sits there and says, well, can we draft some more Chargers? You know, can we get Lambeau? At least you lock in the kicker. And I've always talked to him about playing in Kentucky. And like you, he's got kid responsibilities. The biggest responsibility was getting his kid off to college when we were together. But what he did this year, he and a buddy of mine named Chip Hayes, they formed a team, and they played online. And I coached them up a little bit, best I could. And you know what? His lineup decisions this past week were Cobb, Coates, Wallace, and one other somewhat prolific wide receiver. Three of those four guys had to go on the bench, and Coates was one of them. And now he can't get over it. Well, you know, now he can't.
When you have that good a lineup, sometimes you got problems,
buddy. That
you draft
is
that well. I've had it happen before, once or twice.
Does Le'Veon Bell look like he's just enjoying being back on the field?
And again, for fantasy owners, the great thing about it is right now D'Angelo's dealing with a little knee, so yeah. All the snaps are going his way. And
give me some numbers for Bell against this Dolphins team.
I think he could go over 150 total yards.
Wow.
Five or six catches, gets in the end zone at least once.
I'm headed down to Nashville Saturday night for a concert and a little music business conclave. Before I go to the concert, I'm going over to the Airport Marriott to see Coach Johnny Holland, my coaching client with the Cleveland Browns. And, you know, one thing you can say about the winless Cleveland Browns, if you've watched them, if you've watched the game, there's no quit in that team anywhere. I've seen some teams that just have not shown up. I've seen some teams that have kind of quit during some games this year. This team is playing from whistle to whistle, and I'm impressed with them. They catch the Titans at a wrong time. The Titans seem to be coming together. Browns at Titans, an interesting game for fantasy players, Fetch.
It's tough on the Browns side. I mean, the talent level's not there. They are doing a great coaching job. I mean, you got Terrell Pryor that you can play as a fantasy player, and maybe Isaiah Crowell, but that's really all. Maybe a Barnage if you're desperate with a Jordan Reed hurt or something like that. But on the fantasy side, even though they're playing tough, not many Browns to
play. I
want
to talk about Crowell, though, because I think this is a situation where you've got to hand him the ball, and you've got to have some ball control. You can't turn that ball over to the Titans and let them get in that groove of running game with their wonderfully reborn DeMarco Murray. Did you believe in DeMarco Murray from day one when we started back in July?
I didn't think he would be this big of a workhorse. Uh-huh. I really didn't. I didn't know how good the system would be for him.
And we were talking about that old split again.
Right. With Derek,
know, the old
but,
split.
But I will say that after we saw that first preseason game and saw that they really wanted to pound the football, it gave me hope. And I have DeMarco on one of my teams because of that first preseason game when I saw them run the ball so forcefully, and just it
right.
wanted to be a staple of that. That coach said, we are going to run the football, and there's not many teams in the NFL that do that anymore.
You know, it's every Monday night, led by the Cox brothers, Jamie and Travis, and basically hosted by them, we gather at the Hooters restaurant there on DuPont.
Oh,
is
DuPont,
it Dutchman?
Yeah. Well, no, DuPont. Yeah, yeah.
DuPont, yeah. DuPont Circle, and I want to invite everyone. There's a standing invite. We have the big circle table in the middle of the place. We have a standing invite to all the KFFSC players. I expect to see you there, Fetch, this coming Monday night.
Well, I planned actually probably after November. Once November starts, I'm free up from
like
Monday
said,
night.
I so. Expect you there this – well, there's soccer involved or something. There's something going on.
Girls saw, yeah.
Well, you'll be there in spirit. But okay. I want to – Justin McCord came out this week.
Uh-oh.
And Justin asked everyone, he said, was there a player that you wanted – and you regret not having him, that you aimed to get, that you wanted to get, and he never fell to you. And for me this year, that was DeMarco Murray. My idea was to put Latavius Murray and DeMarco Murray on the same team, and I should have flipped them and drafted DeMarco first.
Yeah, the guy I say is Tevin Coleman because I really liked how he was at Indiana. But DeMarco's been a real – again, I have him on a team, and the fact that they want to run the football. I mean, he's the number one running back in fantasy football in the Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship. So, I got him in the fifth round. So, I mean, it was a win for most people who got him there.
Our waivers will run at midnight tonight, Fetch. How many teams do you think are bidding on the Tennessee Titans to be their starting defense this week versus the Browns?
You know, quite a few, I would say, especially those guys out there that have Minnesota, because Minnesota's probably the only defense you have on your roster. So that's definitely a possible play being at home
right,
against the Browns.
Right.
There are a couple other key matchups, but I would say that's one of the higher ones, Titans hosting the Browns.
Our next game takes the Cincinnati Bengals on the road to what I now consider, after being there, it's been years since I've gone to a game in New England, but I went to the Thursday night game there. And I know Lambeau's a big home field advantage. I think what's coming up in Minnesota is a big home field advantage. Denver, just because of the elevation. But I really think that New England is one of the greatest home field advantages in the National Football League. The Bengals head there, and they play a defense that has allowed fewer points. And you know, in the KFFSC, that's a big, big thing. The defense that's allowed the fewest points of any defense. They lost a game 16-0. They won one 30-0. Nobody's scoring against the Patriots. How are the Bengals going to do it?
They're going to have to find a way, because you know Belichick's going to try to take away A.J. Green, try to take away that running game.
You said you would bench the San Diego receivers against Denver. Are you going to bench A.J. Green against the Pats?
I won't say never, but I hardly ever. He's a first-round draft pick. I think you have to play A.J. because there's always the chance he makes a great play against double-team coverage. Even if they double-team him, he can go up and get the ball. So, no, I'm not benching A.J.
What do you think about the Bengals' pass rush?
I'm very disappointed in it. I thought the Bengals' defense, I picked them up a couple times, and their defense has been really very disappointing this year compared to the last 3 or 4 years.
You know, Tom Brady wanted to come back to the league and make a statement. He certainly did last Sunday. It was beautiful. Those of you who drafted him in the 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th round, you know, you got clear sailing the rest of the way. But this is a game that I think the Pats turned to Edelman. They turned to Blunt. They put less on Brady. They sought this game away with a little more ball control than what we had to see last week. Do you feel that way, or do you just think they're going to throw the ball down?
I think they'll do what they want to do. That's true. Whatever they find. I mean, here's the thing. You just got to start your guys. I think you even got to start James White, because, I mean, he finds a way to get James White the ball, finds a way to get Edelman the ball. Both tight ends, I mean.
If you have Martellus Bennett and another tight end, you've got to start them both, right?
Yeah. Unfortunately, I have Martellus in my keeper league, and I set him for Zach
Ertz. You set Martellus Bennett?
For the Zach Ertz.
Because what were you thinking?
I thought Rob Gronkowski's back. He's going to hold it all. But
yeah, but you can look at that lineup, and you can say, now, okay, this is back to the two tight end set, and Bennett was absolutely athletic and wonderful on short passes. He got yards after the catch. It was a great, great thing. Pats beat the Bengals. And just talk to me about what you expect from those two Bengal running backs in this game.
Well, Jeremy Hill's banged up, and I would not play him. He's not having a good year. They'll stop the run. Giovanni Bernard is a good play this week just because the Patriots take a lot of deep stuff away. I see a lot of checkdowns to Giovanni. He'll get some yards because they'll be behind. He plays more when they're behind. I think Gio is definitely the play in that backfield.
Justin McCord asked the same question Monday night. He said, you know, whose guys you always avoid and you're glad you avoided them? And Bernard and Hill, I've just consistently stayed away from. And I like Bernard. And Hill has flashed skills, but I never feel comfortable with the team, comfortable with the situation. Just don't have a lot of confidence in them. You got anybody like that?
Well, there's a lot of two running back situations like this, but I usually go ahead and draft them. And really, with the situation, you hope the other one gets hurt. that's what we're kind of
that's why Fitch wears the Red Cross t-shirt, folks. He's like that. Niners to the Bills. The Niners have a new quarterback for this weekend. You know what a welcome back. If you're going to get a starting gig, let's get it against the Bills on the road. Go ahead, Mr. Kaepernick. What does this do for a team that is, let's face it, not replete with playmakers?
Well, the biggest problem here is I really don't know the health of Kaepernick's shoulder. I've heard rumors that he doesn't have that arm. The only hope, if anybody, and I mean, Curley's still going to get his target, so maybe, you know, he gets the 7-8 catches. The only guy it could really help is Torrey Smith if they finally start throwing that deep ball.
You know, I'm glad to see Curley find a home in the league and a contributing home, and he's showing he's a very, very solid player. I wonder if that body of his can stand what they're asking him to do. You're still high on Hyde, of course.
Definitely. You got to start Carlos. He's their bell cow, and if anything, Kaepernick probably helps him because he's a better runner, so you got to key on Kaepernick a little more. May take one defender off Hyde. He's really their offense.
The Bills fired offensive coordinator Greg Roman, and there was a little bit of backlash about that in the league. A lot of commentary about it. I didn't see that Roman deserved to be fired, and since he has been fired, the Bills have won three games in a row. They haven't been beautifully done, but they have won these games. What do you... they're just turning and giving the ball to McCoy. Is that what it's about?
It's the whole KISS system. Keep it simple, stupid. From what I understand, Greg Roman was going into the game plan 160, 170 plays. They've cut that down. They're trying to set up matchups. They see LeSean McCoy and Tyra Taylor, they see a lineman just whipping somebody and say, hey, let's run the ball there.
Right.
Again. Sometimes there's so much thought, so much overthinking by these coordinators that they overload the players and they don't just take advantage of the simple matchups. And I think that's what's happening now.
You like any of the Bills receivers? We saw a guy show up in the end zone that I did not expect to see in the end zone from the Buffalo Bills last weekend.
Was that Goodwin? Marquise Goodwin?
Justin Hunter.
Goodwin caught one later, too. But, yes, Justin Hunter is the only guy for future reference, a guy that may, as he gets used to this system, he's the only guy that really is a red zone target. He's a big guy. Maybe they find use in him because with McCoy running the ball so well that you're going to get one-on-one coverage outside. So it's a possibility. We've always been McCoy and nobody else.
Right.
Here's a guy that may show hope in the future. Not playing him this week, but if he consistently gets into the end zone, it's a guy maybe you keep an eye out on.
You talk about Greg Roman complicating things. We go now to Baltimore at the New York Giants, where the offensive coordinator, Mark Trestman, is a mad scientist of quarterback whispering and offensive coordinating, and it's all come to a close. Trestman out in Baltimore. How are the Ravens going to look different at the Giants? Basically, if the Giants keep playing the way they're playing, I expect Ravens to win this ball game.
Well, I think he's fired for one reason only. We talked about Jaquizz Rodgers getting 30 carries, 100 yards.
Right.
Terrence West was averaging 9 yards a carry.
Yeah.
And only got 11 carries.
He's from the CFL. He thinks he's in the CFL.
I always thought that was a weird marriage between Harbaugh and Trestman because Harbaugh's old school special teams defense run the ball. Trestman's, like you said, the mad scientist, spread it out and everything else. And I just think the differences in opinions finally came to agree. And when you saw that game and they couldn't move the ball in the second half, I just think Harbaugh had enough. Let's go back to old Baltimore football where we run it, play good defense, see if we can win those close games.
I'll be interested to see how Flacco responds since you are Mr. Red Cross tonight. What kind of news do you have about Steve Smith?
I know he got a little banged up, and at his age, it's a little worrisome that he can come back.
I had him in one of my lineups this week, and I think he got hit early. Actually, I don't think he got hit. I don't think that's where the injury occurred. I think he turned his ankle. I hope it's not
the Achilles.
What it was?
No, I think it's the ankle. I just think when you're down in that area after having the Achilles problem. I think
it is, but he was on his way to have a 20-point fantasy afternoon, I think, in that situation. We were in the first quarter, early second, and he'd already had 6-8 points.
Again, I had picked up Flacco specifically for this game. I think there are some weather issues with the wind that kind of slowed him down a little bit as well. So then they had the good running game, couldn't go. I think it was a little bit of an aberration. I think you'll go back to regular Baltimore football, a little more running and the deep ball. And Joe Flacco loves the deep ball, which means Mike Wallace may continue to have a decent year, comeback year for him.
Odell Beckham, one touchdown, one game over 100 yards. What's he going to do to the Ravens, a defense that I personally respect?
Sometimes have trouble in the passing game, but they always seem to bend but not break. Don't give up the big touchdown, the long play. Something's going on with Eli and Odell. I mean, they just don't seem right. They were playing against a depleted secondary on Sunday night and just could not make the big connection.
No, Will Tye was if Eli had hit him in stride, he would still be running,
exactly.
and that ball was overthrown. And I don't believe that's Will Tye. You know, poor Will Tye, he doesn't pass the eye test for the NFL tight end,
right?
And so you tend to think, well, you know, Ty's not running, he's not moving. I know that was just, he's wide open.
Eli's off. I mean, talking about a guy, both Odell and Eli are if you drafted them, you're disappointed at their production right now.
Sterling Shepard, no production in that game. That surprised me, too.
Well, again, I think you got to get – there's no rhythm. They're a rhythm passing game, and they just did not have the rhythm, and they haven't. Again, they started a little slow last year. You got to hope that it's going to come back to them as the year goes along, but I don't think Baltimore's the place to get that rhythm back.
Desperate for running backs, I picked up Bobby Rainey, started him in one league. He's had back-to-back games of 13 and 14 points. Is Bobby Rainey an emergency start, or is he a quality flex in this matchup?
Again, Bobby Rainey is that PPR guy that you can pick up and play. He's a guy that I don't know once Rashard gets back totally healthy how much that'll cut, but he's a true third down. Shane Vereen out for the year. You could expect similar numbers than Shane Vereen had last year, which is right at that flex level.
So far, so good. Now, okay, now this is interesting. This is just turned completely upside down. You know who I think the worst team in football is, and they play in Los Angeles.
Worst team with a 3-2 record.
The
really?
Los Angeles.
Maybe the worst offense.
I think they're the worst. Yeah, the defense flashes, but I think this is a really, really bad team. And I think on defense, they're undisciplined. If you watch them rush the quarterback, if you watch what happens after the whistle blows, if you see some of their secondary, some of their corners and you know, pulling out, and they pull out the yellow flag against them. I'm just not sold on this ball club. They're going up against a team that everybody says is not a good team, but the Detroit Lions intrigue me. The Rams travel to the Lions. What do you see happening in this game from a fantasy perspective with your Detroit Lions? Because there's two players that a lot of guys are counting on here, Riddick and Jones.
I think Detroit gets back on track. If you've noticed the Rams' history, if it's a non-division game on the road, they don't play well.
It's a 1 o'clock start, too.
And at 1 o'clock, exactly. So I think as long as you got to keep an eye on Riddick's health. He got that ankle banged up. I think they say he'll be ready to go. As long as he's ready to go, he's in your lineup. Marvin Jones, again, Stafford. Sounds like Eric Ebron's going to be out another week. And again, I gave bad fantasy advice 2 weeks ago about Golden Tate. I mean, that guy, another guy you got to be disappointed. He's kind of like on another planet right now. Nobody knows where he's at.
Yeah, he gets very little opportunities, and perhaps he's not earning them, but he's certainly not a featured player in this offense. Riddick is a featured player. You got any information regarding injury updates?
It's a little ankle. He dinged up. They tried to give him some rest last. He's going to go, I believe. But, again, you just want to watch it up till Sunday that he doesn't tweak it at any point.
Josh Forrest has a gig. It is now in Detroit. I'm glad Josh is in the league. I think he belongs in the league. What do you see? Any fantasy relevance for Josh Forrest moving forward?
You mean Justin Forsett? Is that
what did I say, Josh Forrest?
Justin Forsett.
Wait a minute. I am fascinated with Josh Forrest. I can't get him out of my mind because he's a University of Kentucky player who was the slowest running, weakest weightlifting competitor there at the combine this year, and every time I turn on the TV, he's puking in his helmet. He's crapping in it. But he is one. this past week, I flipped over off of. I was watching Red Zone, and they didn't show a punt, but they went back to it and replayed the punt to show you how the Rams lost possession when Josh Forrest ran into the kicker. So every time I turn on the Rams, Josh Forrest it's not very good, and I'm wondering how long he'll continue to be participating. Justin Forsett, congratulations with a gig with the Detroit Lions.
Again, he's there only because of banged up injuries, and I would not pick him up.
On your roster, do you find a replacement?
You drop him. He had a good fit there with the old regime Kubiak offense that he knew, and he's just an irrelevant. He's just an average running back in the NFL who you don't want to waste your time or money on in free agency.
Very good. There's a player, before we leave this, and we've been jumping all over the place here, there's a player, Quick, a wide receiver for the Rams. He's a free agent in a lot of leagues. What do you think?
Brian Quick, he's finally catching on, but him and Britt, they seem to have 4 or 5 catches, 60, 70 yards every week.
But Quick seems to be getting the ball down around the goal line.
He finds the red zone. But, again, with this quarterback, Case Keenum, I'm just not going to – he's never going to have the big game because Case Keenum's not throwing for 300 yards very often.
Marvin Jones is averaging over 100 yards per game. One game was an outlier where I think he went over
200. Yeah.
What's he going to do against this Rams defense?
Oh, I think you can look for 100 yards and a touchdown.
Wow.
I do.
Okay. Marvin Jones. When Marvin Jones can provide fantasy numbers like that against this Rams defense, I continue to say this Rams team is not a very good team. Let's do one more before we take a break. This is one that will get Kimra on the edge of her seat. She really won't care what we say about it unless we say very, very good things about the New Orleans Saints, who hosts the Carolina Panthers this Sunday. Where do you stop? Who's below the line on the Saints? Do you hold off on Willie Snead this week?
No, I play him.
You play Snead.
Michael Thomas.
You play everybody.
500 yards against Atlanta 2 weeks ago, passing. Uh-huh. Should have been more with Tampa. It's only because they didn't throw the ball, which still boggles my mind. why Tampa
Bay? That was a weird game.
They do not. I mean, they have young players in the secondary. They don't know what. Not sure what's going on. Drew Brees will pick them apart. Play any receiver, Kobe Fleener. Obviously, one of them probably won't have a good game, but you just don't know who it is, so you got to play him.
So, Fetch, we saw the Panthers' defense go off the board in the KFFC sometime as early as the 12th round, 13th, 14th round. They were one of the first two defenses off the board. Are you saying that if you've got the Panthers defense, you better go get somebody and play them this weekend?
I would get, yes, definitely. I mean, I don't think the Panthers are good, but the Panthers last year, especially their defense, were front runners.
Yeah.
They did a great job of getting the lead and just hammering you. Now that they're not getting the lead without Josh Norman there, people are scoring on them, moving the football. They're just not a every week play anymore as a defense.
We might say that the biggest disappointment so far, with expectation of draft position for fantasy owners, that the biggest disappointment in New Orleans is Brandon Cooks. You're getting similar position production on an average basis out of Snead, who was drafted in the 9th or 10th round, Thomas, who was drafted later, correct?
Correct.
You know, and so coming out of the bye, do you think that Brees and Cooks in this game come together and he is the top targeted and productive receiver?
I think he will be. I think Cooks always has better games indoors on the dome.
Mm.
Speed is affected a little bit more. But again, when you have a great offense, you know, we talk about the Raiders with Cooper and Crabtree. You're going to have games where your second and third receivers have better games when you have great quarterbacks and great offense.
We love talking about the Raiders, and we'll do it after the break. Fetch, take us out, and we'll start with the afternoon games on our return.
The Kentucky State Fantasy Football State Championship. Season-long fantasy football. Hands down, the best fantasy football experience you will find.
KFFSC.
Fantasy.
Fantasy. Fantasy football.
Get in it to win it.
Fetch, welcome back. Our afternoon slate of games begins with the Oakland Raiders and the Kansas City Chiefs, a kind of fantasy football matchup that I love at the age I am now. But when I was 10 years old, Kansas City Chiefs and the Oakland Raiders, I was glued to the TV. And I will be again this Sunday. You know, Fetch, I was listening to NFL radio, Sirius Sports Radio. And the two guys are on there. It's the guys that come on before Pat Kerwin and his partner. I forget who they are. Booger McFarlane, maybe. And, mm-hmm. and they're talking about the ratings in the NFL. And, you know, they're saying that the prime time games have been have seen a decrease in viewers for the early season. And they talked about some of the reasons this might be. Neither of them, to my knowledge, brought up the fact that the presidential debates have been scheduled up against a Sunday night and a Monday night.
Sure, that's a factor. I think another factor is to quality. We talk about this Raiders Chief game. This should be a primetime game.
It should be a primetime game. Whoever's making that schedule should get fired. Houston Texans, God love them. I love this football team, and I want them to do well. But this is their second or third trip to primetime already this season, and it's an interesting situation.
Quarterback play. And, I mean, Derek Carr is the guy I want to see. And being a West Coast game, we don't get to always see it here locally. I'd love to see more Derek Carr on TV.
Are you much of a Politico? Or are you fired up about this November 8th election?
I really am not. I didn't watch the last debate because it's going to be junior high school fighting, and I'm just not worth listening.
Yes, I struggled through it. I could not watch the first one. But you know who had a big political day this week?
Who's that?
The Oakland, soon-to-be Las Vegas Raiders, approved by the legislators in Carson City, $750 million in public funds to build an off-strip stadium in Las Vegas. And it was reportedly that this bill will be signed into law by Governor Brian Sandoval. And so that's the guy that's getting my vote for president. I'm riding in Sandoval, and I'm going to sign up. I'm going next trip to Vegas. I'm going to take a little segue into the Capitol. I'm going to sign up as to support him in the upcoming elections. Governor Brian Sandoval put his name on the line, $750 million to build a stadium that Fetch, you and I will set in pretty soon.
I would say no team would fit Las Vegas better than the Raiders, especially with this up-and-coming talent. Now, what I would like to know, are you going to be a season ticket holder?
Oh, if they'll sell them to me, I'll buy them. I think it's going to be one of the greatest experiences in football. You know, Donald Trump wants to build a wall. I am currently... In my agent business, I am currently so disgusted with the Canadian Football League that's where I want the wall built.
I don't want the northern wall.
I don't want any more players going. You cannot. You know, if you certain size. Anyway, I'm being facetious, but that's how I feel about it tonight. So I'm thrilled that this Sunday, upon my return to Nashville, that the Chiefs and Raiders will be on the television. I'm going to leave the Red Zone to watch this. What's your opinion on the Red Zone?
Red Zone channel?
Yeah.
I don't have it.
You don't have the Red Zone?
Do not have
it. It's pretty fascinating because, you know, no commercials.
Sure.
So my brother Leo, he made us a little coffee, you know, where we wouldn't. We had a late night on Saturday night, so, you know, he made a little coffee, and I'm sitting there saying, I'd like to get up and get a cup of coffee. I think that for 20 minutes because I won't go away from the place, you know, and I can't get. But it's a very entertaining way to watch the games, but it is not a very educational way to watch the games.
That's what I'm much more interested in. Again, I think there is some takeaway. You find out what teams do in the red zone,
but sometimes they
go just to the scoring plan. You don't see the three or four plays before that. So what packages? I want to know what different packages they're using in the red zone.
Uh-huh.
Are they going goal line, three or four times?
Who's on the field?
Yeah, exactly, and you don't see that except on the scoring play. And sometimes, you know, coaches are setting things up.
Yes.
They're setting a certain formation, not for that play, but for next week, or especially against divisional opponents the next time they play them.
The flow of the game is affected. Now, in the afternoon games, you have fewer. This week we only have, what, three afternoon games?
Three afternoon games, yep.
Yeah, see, so that's going to work out very, very well from on the red zone because you're going to get enough of those three games. To see what we want to see. Well, okay, so the first one we want to see is Chiefs versus the Raiders. Chiefs come out of the bye week. Let's talk about them first. If you have Alex Smith on your team, do you start him against a woeful bend and sometimes break secondary of the Oakland Raiders?
Alex Smith is definitely a... pick up for me. I have him in a couple leagues.
Picking him up like Hoyer. You're picking him up and you're putting him in.
Exactly. This is the perfect week. Andy Reid's excellent off bye weeks. Excellent record off bye weeks. He's going to have a great plan going in against the Raiders, and one of their weaknesses is the secondary. I would start him off over Phillip Rivers this week.
You would start Smith over Rivers.
I would.
Fantastic. Who else? Would you start Smith over Palmer?
Yes, I would, just because I'm so worried about his health.
Would you start Smith over Bortles?
No, I would not.
you know, we flipped. We got to the Browns and Titans without talking about the Bears. We probably need to circle back to them because there's some fascinating things going on with that team. That tight end up there, Miller's caught three touchdowns. But I digress. Let's get to the Raiders. You know, even when two players are joined at the hip, like Crabtree and Carr, sometimes they can get on the wrong page. And if you had watched the first half from this Sunday against the Chargers, you would have seen two players play that you were certain had never been on the field together.
Right. And then Cooper had a great first half, and Crabtree looked like he hadn't played with Carr, what, a couple years.
And they corrected that in the second half, which shows what I like about a number of these players with the Raiders. Now, Latavius Murray goes down in the walking boot. He will not play this weekend. Is that correct?
That's what I'm hearing.
We have Jalen Smith, a player who was not only not signed as a free agent or not drafted, he was in fact signed as a free agent, but only after he came in to do the three-day minicamp and work out for it. Jalen Richards scored more fantasy points than the running back Washington. Which one gets the start this weekend if you have both of those Raider backups on your team?
Wow, I mean, it's close. When I saw the snaps, they both started about the same. Smith caught an extra pass over DeAndre. If you're between the both right now, it looks like Smith's put up the better production, so I would start him. But I wouldn't be afraid to start either one if I had a bye week fill-in for a...
You mean Richard, Jalen Richard.
Jalen Richard, yeah, yeah.
So let me ask you this. Are the Chiefs more... can you beat the Chiefs with the run, or can you beat them more with the pass?
I think you can do both. I think you've got to mix it up both. I don't think they're one weakness in their defense. You got to be able to do both, and you got to keep them honest.
So are the Raiders becoming very similar to the Saints? The defense is going to give up a lot of points, but the Raiders know they're going to score 30, 35, and win.
The great thing about the Raiders almost remind me of the old Colts.
Uh-huh.
Because not only are they going to score points.
You're talking about the Johnny United
team. No.
What old coach are you talking about?
I'm talking about the Peyton coach.
Oh. And the Peyton Manning?
Peyton Manning.
I remember
coach.
Him.
And the reason I say that is what you worry about with the Saints is that they go with all these different formations and pull out their best receiver once in a while and put in some John Kuhn guy that's been playing in Green Bay and give him a touchdown. In Oakland, it's going to Crabtree, it's going to Cooper, it's going to the running back, and occasionally the starting tight end. Seth Roberts, don't know, as the third.
Seth
get
Roberts.
Something. But you're not worried about this fifth wide receiver.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Because he's Andre Holmes, number 18, and he's targeted in the red zone on a regular basis.
Trust me, Crabtree and Cooper do not leave the field. They don't leave the field.
Believe it or not, in the red zone, I've been watching it, Cooper is on the sidelines. It's unbelievable what's going on. And then again, it's fascinating because this is a true team. And if one of these guys gets beat up, somebody's going to step up that's already got a lot of snaps on the field. But, yes, I've been watching the Raiders closely, and in that red zone, Cooper's coming off.
It's still more of a traditional offense, if you know what I mean.
I agree.
You know, with the old Reggie was on the right and Marvin was on the left. They kind of keep Cooper and Crabtree doing their thing all the time. And that it's just more consistent. And as a fantasy player, you like that compared to what New Orleans does.
We said that less responsibility of Murray would make Murray a better fantasy player. We were right. We didn't necessarily expect that it was going to come from these two rookie ball players. I think when Murray comes back, Murray steps back into this team.
He'll go back to the same. The problem with Murray is the injury concern.
I think in Murray's situation, we got a floor of 10 and a ceiling of 15. And I don't necessarily think you drafted him in the fourth or fifth round, maybe even the fourth round.
Probably.
Expecting that.
Right.
You know, you wanted something higher than that, and perhaps he will flash that when he returns. Meanwhile, Jalen Richard and Washington, is his first name Dwayne?
DeAndre.
See, Dwayne's at Detroit.
Detroit, yeah.
These guys are good complementary flex players and running backs that you could start over some more traditional running backs that might have a tough matchup like our aforementioned Matt Jones. Just picking on Matt Jones. I just don't like
certain guys. Yeah,
there's a running back that I'm going to start every week, and he comes from the Dallas Cowboys. He'll travel to Green Bay this weekend. What do you have to say about the emergence of Ezekiel Elliott in the number one running back in yards gained so far in this NFL season?
Great talent. You know, he looked great this past week against Cincinnati. Caveat is going against the number one rushing defense this weekend, so we'll see what happens.
I like that. I like the line. I just love the matchup because it's best against best. Cowboys are mixing it up, and there's some conversation about Tony Romo. I wonder how that's going over in the locker room.
I think it's going fine because I think Dak Prescott is the leader right now out there. They trust him. I think they're holding Tony's healthy, but they're going to play the caveat that he's not in football shape.
Right.
And as long as Dak keeps doing what he's doing, Dak's the starting quarterback in Dallas.
Green Bay came out of the bye week last week, had a very, very good presentation. Were you – I benched Cobb in one of my leagues because I have some depth at the receiver position, and I knew that he would get – a big game, especially when they were feeding him the ball early. I mean, I wasn't surprised to see that. But I thought his ceiling was a bit low, and I went another direction. I think he ended up in the neighborhood of 20 fantasy points. I would have liked to have had him on the field. But the way he got those points were not necessarily awe-inspiring.
I don't trust Randall Cobb. I mean, I didn't think he'd have the week he had. He got banged up a little late in the game, missed practice today as well. The guy I'm high on in Green Bay, who's in the position, Devontae Adams, another touchdown. Where you got him, he's that third receiver. I mean, he's a great flex play. I played him in a flex position this weekend because I had some buys with Allen Robinson and that out, and I think he's going to continue to produce because I think he looks good and he doesn't have the pressure of being the one.
Did you see him on the waiver wire anywhere?
No.
I saw him in a couple leagues, and I put in some bids for him. Lacy, damn, he looked so good, and then he got injured. What's the story for Eddie Lacy this week?
Well, again, both running backs are banged up now, and James Stark supposedly banged up worse. So Eddie Lacy's got a chance to get more carries this week with James Stark's out. So
do you think he's going to heal and play?
Yeah, his is an ankle, not a knee, so they say he's going to be ready to go.
An interesting game and always an old-school football matchup. Those are the two matchups I grew up with. You would look on NBC, Chiefs-Raiders. You'd look on NBC, Cowboys-Green Bay. I'm going back to when I was 10 and 11 years old this weekend.
These teams are good, too. That's
going
that's
to be
good
beautiful.
Part.
Yeah, they were always great fun to watch. Hey, great fun to watch. Falcons continue their West Coast swing. They came in and inexplicably made Denver look like they were a very confused team. Now they make their way to the Seahawks. Does the magic run for the Atlanta Falcons end in Seattle?
It does. It does. The Falcons are a better team than they were last year at 5-0, but two trips to the West Coast in a row. A little flukish to me how they got their yards. The Seahawks will be keying on those running backs out of the backfield. Richard Sherman's going to be waiting back there for Julio. I think Seattle's defense does a number on this Atlanta team. That crowd noise, they'll be getting off the ball. Maybe a little rain. You never know in Seattle. I think Atlanta dips down a little bit. Devontae Freeman and Tevin go down, not as big a games, and Julio, again, you're starting Julio no matter what because of the talent, but I don't expect big games from Matt Ryan or him.
If you have both these running backs, do you start them both? There's some drafters that have both.
Yeah, you definitely can because they definitely have defined roles, and they both get double-digit touches. So,
right.
So,
right.
You can start them both.
It's a fascinating situation at that position there. Who else on the Falcons are you looking at? Do you trust Tammy yet?
I do not trust Tammy. He's a optional. He's a end, a tight end two at the very end of the scale, who if I have a bye or if a better matchup, but definitely not this matchup.
I talked about how I was high on drafting Sanu 11, 12, 13. I'm glad I have him. I've yet to play him. I want to take that back. I did play him once, and it was when he had his big game. But so far, not a lot of breakouts from Mohamed Sanu. Do you see that changing?
Again, he'll have a couple good games against the Saints, maybe Tampa, like he did early. But, again, it's a spot start.
Check and see if they got the Raiders on the schedule. You know, Raiders have a great pass rush.
Didn't they already play?
Yeah, well, hell, I can't
don't remember.
Remember where I was last week. Are you kidding me? You know, I'm learning to respect defensive football more and more. Anyone who went, anyone who paid special attention to the Super Bowl last year has got to learn to respect defensive football more and more. I respect the Houston Texans defense. And it is, without J.J. Watt, it is engaging. The Indianapolis Colts, prime time, will get to see every play. The Colts go to the Texans. Which Texan team shows up? And is this defense enough to knock T.Y. Hilton off of these superlative fantasy performances?
Well, and he's had big games against them before down there in Houston. I don't think so. Andrew Luck's going to pass the ball a lot. And T.Y. Hilton is his number one target by far, especially with Dante Moncrief still out.
I think this, perhaps without J.J. Watt, you see a more consistent pass rush just from the standpoint that guys are not being necessarily creative. They're staying in their lanes. They're doing what they're coached to do. How many times is Luck going to be hit? How many times is he going to be sacked? I see this as a real physical struggle for Andrew Luck, and I think that will affect the score of the game. I think that will affect the fantasy performance of the game.
He takes a lot of hits. He stands back there. That's what they're trying to stop him from doing. They want him to get ball rid of the ball a lot quicker, but the problem is he just does not have enough targets or receivers that are getting open, and T.Y. is usually streaking down the field, which takes a few seconds.
Yes, it is.
So it will be a physical game, but Andrew Luck's a big boy.
I agree. We'll have to see. I think we differ on this one. You have the Colts coming out here with a win. We don't differ on this.
I think the Texans win.
You think the Texans win?
Colts play close.
Well, give
games
me a score
week.
Then.
20-17.
20-17. But you still believe Hilton will have 100 yards, six catches, a touchdown. Just nobody else there to do.
Yeah.
The magic of Jack Doyle around the goal line doesn't continue.
No. I mean, Dwayne Allen's the number one target of the tight ends. I mean, I know Doyle had that 2-touchdown week one, but as time goes on, Dwayne Allen's getting more of the looks at the tight end position.
Will Fuller comes back to form against the Colts. How are the Texans not going to score more than 20 points with the tools they have against the secondary of the Colts?
I don't think the Colts are going to bring much pressure. I think they're going to stay in a two deep. They're going to stay back. They're going to take away the deep ball, which is what really the only thing Houston has done well.
Can we see Lamar Miller then go for over 100 yards in this game?
I don't think so. I'm thinking he'll get 20 carries, but maybe only 80 yards.
20 for 80, and he stays out of the end zone again,
stays
is your prediction?
Yeah.
And he doesn't catch many passes?
He's still a play because, he'll probably catch. There'll be a lot of checkdowns if they're taking away the deep ball.
I think Brock Osweiler alleviates some of that buyer's remorse down in Houston with this game. I'm seeing a 30-24 game fetch.
Colts defense is weak, but for some reason I'm thinking division game, prime time teams get a little tight, going to run the ball a little bit more, slow the pace down.
I think that Houston, after their difficult trips to Minnesota and difficult trips to New England, can't see the game get any slower. I think they're going to put that ball in the air. Let's see what happens. We've got a good one to watch to figure it out. You want to talk about Monday night, the Jets, without our beloved Eric Decker, now travel to the desert where our beloved Fitz is still catching passes for the Cardinals and our beloved Fitz is still throwing interception for the Jets. What are we going to do here?
Cardinals win this game. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Fitz, kept the ball to his own team for the most part in this past week. Played the Steelers a decent game.
He was still throwing the same passes, though. He was still throwing the same ridiculous passes.
Marshall was coming up with some catches, though.
Playing defense. You see Marshall knocking those balls down?
He's a big target. That's part of the deal when you're that guy. But, again, I think the Arizona defense, great play. I think Larry Fitzgerald's a great play. I think David Johnson is the play. I mean, he's going to come because now that they're worried about Carson's health, David Johnson is going to get 30 touches a game.
People that drafted Beckham, people that drafted Hopkins, people that drafted A.J. Green, all before they drafted
David Johnson.
They have to be wondering what they were thinking about. Hats off to Johnny Renshaw, who got the number one pick in one online league. He was the only team in our 33 divisions that deviated from Antonio Brown and took David Johnson. If he's going to have David Johnson, he's going to have to take him.
Right.
And he took him.
Yeah.
And Johnny is actually doing very, very well because of that. Johnson's a fascinating. How deep do you go with receivers? Is this a game where John Brown shows up?
I have John Brown on a – it's so tough to tell which Arizona receiver is going to hit. This is a really this is a really good front seven for the Jets, so Arizona's going to have to hit something. I would think this is a Fitz game and a David Johnson checkdown because I don't think you're going deep that much with the concerns with Carson. I think you're going to see a lot of checkdowns, a lot of short routes. Fitz is kind of like the tight end slot guy. I could see him getting 9-10 catches this week.
Oh, it's got to be great to be in business with him, especially where you could have grabbed him in the draft. On the other side of the ball, Marshall is an everyday start. You know, I love Forte. He's run into a couple of rough fantasy starts. I don't believe they're throwing the ball enough to Matt Forte.
No, because Fitz, you know, kind of forces it downfield a little too much. But, again, I think a little bit – It's kind of the conservativeness. What happens is you run the ball in first, run the ball in second because you're worried about your quarterback.
Uh-huh.
Then all of a sudden you're in third and 10 and third and 7, and you can't throw the check down because you don't get the first down. And some of these coaches sometimes they put more pressure on their quarterback by running the ball too much.
Austin Severian Jenkins is now the tight end and actually caught two passes, which is a big deal for the Jets if you have a tight end that caught two passes. I think we can continue to monitor that. Maybe he's learned his lesson, an excellent talent that we said would not survive Tampa Bay, and I sure didn't see it happening quite like this, but he has a new home. Two teams that very much need a win.
Definitely need to win. Arizona's at home. Like I said, Arizona gets it, and I think in dominating fashion.
Guys, join us for the Jets at the Cardinals at Hooters in DuPont Circle. Is that what we call it?
DuPont? I believe so, yeah.
DuPont Circle. You know where it is, over off of Breckenridge Lane. We'll check in about 7:30, and we'll stay there to the final whistle. You may also join us next Wednesday night, Fetch. A week from tonight, Jesse Bumstead will return to his commissioner online duties as we have the third series or the third league of Bluegrass Bound. My dear friend from Hong Kong, Ray Chung, leads one. We talked about Christy Franklin leading the other. That's a Bluegrass Bound with the Las Vegas Flip. If you're a local guy and win it, you can use your travel to go play in the FFPC. We have 9 spots available, I believe. We're going to do some selling of that when just some good national players and a few local players mixed in as well. Fetch, the MailChimp update goes out tomorrow. It will feature a number of things that we've talked a little bit about tonight and celebrate some of our big scores from last week. I really am excited to tell our listeners and remind our listeners that our top 5 finishers in the KFFFSC. Did I just put an extra F in there?
I think
I threw an extra F in there.
I just say Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship. Yeah, you don't have to worry about
KFFSC. You got to take a breath, I think, in between. You know, our top 5 finishers all win a bid to play in Las Vegas at the FFPC. And our bid winners, I don't have a complete report, but I'm happy to say that one, Mike Mattingly, who finished fifth overall last year. Mike headed out with his lovely wife, Michelle. They sit down on Friday night, and I liked what Matt was doing. What Mattingly was doing. I kept a real close eye on him. He put together a very, very good team, drafting out of the five hole. Fetched that team. That league has, had the exact number on it earlier. It's just like 1,380 teams. Here at the end of week five, Mike Mattingly in 24th place. Oh. Other guys from Kentucky did not win a bid, but are there playing on their own dime. Danny Gibson, one of them, he is in 23rd place. Our aforementioned Chad Schroeder has three teams in the top 100. Danny Mueller, who's a great guy, coming to the league next year, gentleman from Oklahoma City. Danny has two teams in the top 10, I believe, and three teams overall in the top 50. Your commish is very proud of his team. I'm in a division with Carter Harrell and Derek Embry, and we're actually opposing each other this weekend, which will make some great conversation. And our teams are both at the top of the division, real close in points. I think I've got a slightly better record. I think they've got a few more fantasy points, so we've got a head-to-head. And I've worked hard and got my team up to 380th place, and I'm pretty proud of that.
Hey, nothing wrong with that.
It's not as cool as being number 10 in the KFFSC. Fetch, there are 21 teams remaining at 5-0 in the KFFSC, and yours is one of them.
Yes, yes, I'm glad to be there. Good early start. Now I just got to finish it off.
Guys, our midseason leagues are a lot of fun. Bluegrass Bound next Wednesday night. We will be talking about the big payback play-in. Christian Warrick has won that the past year. We will be talking about our fourth edition of Bluegrass Bound. We'll wrap all these leagues up by week 8. If you haven't played in a midseason league, they're a great deal of fun. And Fetch, I'll close it out with just talking about our league that we drafted on the airplane, the Mile High League. Okay. Jamie Cox is doing very, very well. Justin McCord has the league lead. It's not a official KFFSC league, because to round out enough players, I took a team and Jesse took a team, and every team is very competitive except one, which has Lamar Miller, Eric Decker, Odell Beckham. It had Danny Woodhead, I believe. And let's just put it this way, Fetch. In the Mile High League, the commish should have taken the bus to Vegas. I'm rooting for Lamar Miller to score 100 points this weekend. Fetch, thank you so much. We will see you guys next week as we discuss and see what kind of things we were right about. We wish you good luck. Only one 200-point performer out of 396 last week, Fetch, in the KFFSC. Let's see if anybody else can crack the 200 points. No one's at 1,000 points yet. Chad Schroeder probably will be after this weekend. It's getting pretty exciting.
We'll see you next week.
If you want to be the best, you have to beat the best. Answer the challenge and stake your claim to the title of champion of the KFFSC. Get in the action online at kffsc.com.